So glad to see everybody here. I hope all is well with everybody and your families. It's good to see Maisie and Hope here. God has called us into his marvelous light, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, by his son Jesus, calling all those to him. This time of year, almost everybody is open to the gospel. We have an open door to proclaim Jesus in our life and to tell others what Christ has done for us. And many are going to be traveling to visit. And so let's be in more prayer than usual, praying not only for them to travel safely, but that we can minister to them in a godly fashion. Last week, we covered some of the promises God made in the Old Testament, showing that how he was going to bring forth a Savior. And we looked at why this plan was necessary, how it would work, and where the child of promise would even be born. And this, we did this last week because we wanted to understand what the Jewish people in the first century, what they would have been expecting. And so to understand that they had many prophecies about Christ coming into the world and what he would do, although most lacked an understanding about what Christ would be born for, what his mission was. Yet others who lacked understanding when they heard, they reacted in a different way. Even if they had doubts, they still chose to obey, to follow, and to trust, which is hard to do. Even when you don't understand something, you know, if I tell Parker to go and do something he doesn't quite understand, he wants to trust and obey, but he's confused. And that's better to see than just straight out disobedience. And at least some people, what we're going to be looking through today, when they heard this word, when they heard the message, though they didn't understand, there was an ultimate choice to trust, obey, and to follow. And today we're going to move into the New Testament. We're going to cover reactions of those in Scripture, and we're going to hear how they reacted when they heard of Christ the Savior was going to be born. Let's open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for your great mercies, your multitudes of grace, Lord. I thank you for people who are here. Those who are not here, Lord, be with them, and comfort is the way you comfort us. Help us, Lord, to have wisdom, discernment, and discretion to rightly divide your word, Lord, of truth. And we thank you, Lord, for your abundant mercy, for the abundant life you give in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start off with Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist. And John was to be born 6 months before Christ, and he had a special mission set for him by God. And Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, they had no children. It's not because they didn't want any children. They didn't have any because Elizabeth was barren. But they were, according to Scripture, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, so they were blameless. Now Zechariah was a priest, and one day when carrying out his duty in the temple, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And this was the message. Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now that's wonderful news. Zechariah will have a son. His wife Elizabeth will give birth, even in her old age. And they're going to become parents. And Zechariah's son is going to not only be born, right? He's not going to only have a son. He's going to go before the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord. And of course, this isn't the birth of Christ. This isn't the birth of the Messiah, but it is a fulfillment of another prophecy, a different prophecy. And this goes all the way back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 40, it talks about John the Baptist. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 to 5. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The one to prepare the way of the Lord, the angel said that his boy, John, will grow up and turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Now, John was to have no wine or strong drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll go forth in the power of Elijah, who was a mighty prophet in the Old Testament. And Isaiah says, one will come to prepare the way for the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. In other words, John will be born and prepare the people for the coming of Christ, the Messiah, and they will see the Messiah themselves, who's the Word made flesh. Now, let's see how Zechariah reacts to this. So he's told all this, and this is in verse 18. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. So times were different back then. In the first century, you were allowed to call your wife old. And in verse 19, the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So Zechariah didn't believe the angel at first. His prayer was even heard. God heard his prayer, and yet when he heard the message, he didn't believe it. And the angel gives the name Gabriel, and he continues by chastising Zechariah for his unbelief. And he informs Zechariah, I love this part because it's powerful. It says, I stand in the presence of God. This is the angel saying, I stand in the presence of God. In the very presence of God, Gabriel stands. And it's as though he's saying, you think I came here to give you bad information? I'm sent to speak to you, and I have good things to say, glad tidings. Not only are you going to be a father, but your son will be great in the sight of the Lord. A fulfillment of prophecy. Who Isaiah was writing about, your son, that's who he is. To prepare ye the way of the Lord. And because of this, Zechariah's speech was taken from him. He wasn't able to speak. And I'm sure Elizabeth didn't mind that. Now after this, Elizabeth did conceive. There's no surprise there, and rejoiced in the Lord for giving her a son. And Zechariah didn't believe at first, but his wife, this is the first mention of her reaction. Luke chapter 1, verse 25. She says, and I love this, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. As a woman who was well in her years, who was not able to have kids her whole life, she was at least feeling as a reproach that she maybe wasn't worthy of kids. And she thanks God, hearing this news, like, the Lord has looked on me. He's taken away that reproach. She was thankful. Now you fast forward, John is born, and on the eighth day he's circumcised. And everyone wants to name him after his father, calling him Zechariah. But Elizabeth says, no, it's John. And the family's confused. They're like, you ain't got nobody in your family named John? So they turn to Zechariah, who's still not able to speak, and they give him a tablet. And it's not an Apple tablet, not an Android tablet. He's writing on it. They had tablets, but not those. And he's writing, and he says, his name is John. And they all marveled. And boom, right then, his speech comes back. He's able to speak, and he's speaking and praising God. So he learned his lesson. And this is what Zechariah says right when his speech comes back. Check this out. Luke chapter 1, verses 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he was not able to speak for at least 9 months, okay? It's the first thing coming out of his mouth. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the prophet, by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy performed to our promise to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, and he's looking at his son, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And then the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Amen.
Amen. Zechariah proclaims the goodness of God, and he rejoices in his promises. And that even though Zechariah didn't believe at first, saying, how can I have had a son? How can I have a son? My wife and I are way past the years of having kids. God's faithful ways This is what I love, and this is what I pull from the text. God's faithful ways reveal to us that God, in his grace, can take from us whatever he wants in order to develop our faith. And so, including our speech. And the faith of Zechariah must have grown during that time. Because as soon as his speech returns, he's filled with the Holy Ghost and he's prophesying, praising God. Now, and I wanted to start with Zechariah and Elizabeth because their son prepared the way for the Lord. And I love what Zechariah says in verse 79. It's really the theme of the message here, the message of light. He says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, Christ coming into the world, John the Baptist coming 6 months before him, it wasn't done so that everybody could become religious and just meet every week just to do those things as though they are a program. He did it to give us a way of peace, and we fellowship together to celebrate him each and every week. That verse there is describing, in one way or another, a summary of the scriptures. Pastor David said it this way before, that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about redemption, redeeming his people, bringing us back to the garden. This here is a fulfillment of that, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Why? So that our feet could be guided in the way of peace, a true life of peace. God shining a light back then so bright that it shines in our hearts today. Amen. There came a light into the world to guide our feet into the way of peace. And in the movie A Christmas Story, what you see up there, you have the kids debating one of life's greatest mysteries: if someone's tongue will freeze to a pole in the winter. And it's a classic argument. And Ralphie's friends, Schwartz and Flick, they're about as educated on this subject as you can get. They both consulted with their dads, and their dads disagree, but Flick, his dad says, it can't happen. Schwartz's dad says, no, it cannot happen. And we have to remember, as a kid, to a kid, dad isn't simply dad. He's Professor Dad. He's Dad the Great. He'll bury you if you lose his remote. So with the group at school enjoying recess, they decide to put it to the test. So Flick triple dog dares Schwartz to lick the flagpole at school and see if his tongue is going to freeze to it. And because of peer pressure, Schwartz doesn't want to seem like a chicken, and he puts his tongue to the pole. And as he backs off to show that nothing's wrong, the flagpole pulls him back in for one more hug. And he discovers that it's true, your tongue can freeze to metal in the winter. And after this, we have all the kids running inside from recess, and Ralphie and Flick, they leave their buddy Schwartz stuck to the pole, not able to get him off. I know in Boston, that must be unacceptable. Your boys don't leave you like that. As the teacher does a head count, she says, where is Schwartz? And no one answers. The teacher sees the poor boy stuck outside. The fire department's got to come and get called and help him out. And Schwartz walks into class after he's off the pole. He walks into class with a frozen tongue. The teacher is upset, knowing who was involved, and she does something interesting in that scene. She's speaking to the class, but she's indirectly speaking to Ralphie and to Flick, and she's saying, those who are responsible know they are to blame, even if they won't come forward, saying, I'm sure the guilt that they feel is worse than the punishment. And you see Ralphie kind of sinking down into his chair. Zechariah losing his speech was not as bad, I would assume, as the guilt he would have felt for not believing in the message to begin with. Seeing it came to pass just as the angel Gabriel proclaimed, the message God had sent. And truly, I have not always responded well to God. Even after being saved, I have not always responded well to God. And people, you know, they can think, oh, you're a strong and fierce man of the Lord running to and fro everywhere you go. You're never doubting, you're never tired, always in the battle. And that's not, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. And as I look at how people reacted to God's promises throughout the Bible, I'm reminded of my own heart, which hardens day by day. And a strong brother or sister in the Lord is strong because they know how weak they really are. And the strength that you and I see in somebody is the strength that they're begging to God for. And that's the one that he gives, because he's gracious. Even if it's just a stand for what God has said. Now, moving on to Mary and Joseph, or my niece, she'd call him Jophis. She says, can we watch Jophis? And I go, what? We have Gabriel sent yet again to Mary 6 months after Elizabeth conceived. And we pick up here in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So far, Mary, she doesn't know what this is all about. She's just puzzled what manner of salutation this should be. She says, what do you want? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And here we are, the promised Messiah, the message from God delivered by Gabriel. And this is actually referring to, back in the Old Testament, it refers to 2 Samuel 7, where Nathan the prophet tells of God's promise. He says that Christ the King would come from King David's bloodline. He would be at least on, not the bloodline, but sitting on the throne, and his kingdom would be established forever. He told King David, he says, one will sit on your throne forever and establish the kingdom. Now, after hearing this, how does Mary react? Mary reacts like this. She says in verse 34, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So she's asking, well, I've never been with a man. How's that going to happen? That's a big difference from Zechariah's response. Zechariah just simply didn't believe. Mary wanted to know, how's that going to happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise God. And this is so critical. I want to pause here for a second because this is critical to understand. Mary was a virgin. She had never been with a man, and yet she will give birth to the Messiah. And this is central to the Christian message because of this. No man can die for the sins of the world. I cannot die for your sins. You and I cannot earn our way into heaven, and there are not enough good works or mighty works of God or works that we do in God's name that we can justify ourselves with. So if we've all fallen short, which we have, we've all sinned, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We've all together become unprofitable, there's none that doeth good, we've all gone out of the way, there's no, not one that doeth good, no, not one. And this is in Psalm 14, and it's in Romans chapter 3. So when a man or a woman is born, we are born into sin. When a man and a woman come together, they bring forth a child that comes from Adam. Through one man, Adam, sin came into the world, and death by sin. Not one of our children or any child that will come that has ever been conceived by a man and a woman can make the cut to be holy, because we all come from Adam. But Christ's birth was different. He did not come from a man. Though Mary was to give birth, no man was involved for Mary to conceive. She brought forth a son, the God-man Jesus. And it is by the power of the Holy Ghost that Mary conceived. And in verse 36, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So there's two things to note here. One, you can now see that Elizabeth and Mary are cousins, which makes John the Baptist the cousin of Jesus. And two, whether it's the first century or this century, it seems that angels are allowed to call your wife old. And the angel ends with this. He says in verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. So she asks a clarifying question rather than just doubting. How's that going to happen? And he explains to her how it's going to happen. He says, With God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary says, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary's reaction is one of surprise, but it's also of submission. Lord, thy will be done. Here am I, Lord. Send me. That's the spirit that Mary had. Mary and Elizabeth are strong women of faith. Now, how does Joseph take the news? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. So it seems Joseph did not get an update that Mary was going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. They are espoused, and this is basically meaning that they're married, but they're spending the first year apart. And that first year apart is to prove each other's purity and commitment to one another. So he finds out she's pregnant, thinks, that's not mine. He has no idea how that happened. Well, his idea is to just quietly break up. He didn't want to make her look bad to anybody. But while he thought on these things, in verse 20, we read, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And so remember, Christ will sit on the throne of David. He will be from King David's family. And Joseph is 28 generations down from David as his great times 28 grandfather. And although Joseph is not the father of Jesus, Jesus is born into Joseph's family through marriage, and it makes him the heir to the throne of David. And that's prophecy fulfilled. In verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. And we read this last week. We read Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then Joseph, in verse 24, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Joseph's initial response was really just a lack of information. But while he was thinking of what to do, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. It's going to be okay, Joseph. She hasn't done anything to dishonor you. The child is conceived of the Holy Ghost. His name will be Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Amen? It seems that Joseph probably knew, and this is my take, I think he knew what all of that meant, being that he was the very great grandson of King David. I'm sure that his family, that promise that God gave, not only written down for all the people of Israel, but I'm sure that family in particular probably passed on that promise. So I'm sure when Joseph heard that he was going to sit in the throne of David, I think Joseph probably knew exactly what that meant, that the Messiah would be born into David's house, that the plan would be put in motion, that light is shining in the darkness more than ever before, because God's people not only hear, but they get to see God's promises before their very eyes. Mary and Elizabeth reacted with joy, Zechariah with unbelief, and Joseph was just confused. But God is long-suffering. He is full of grace and truth, even in trouble, questions, or doubts. He remains faithful. We're the ones that become unfaithful. You know, they got a different version to that psalm, call me all ye faithful. It's another one, come all ye unfaithful. I've been unfaithful. The Lord has never been unfaithful. Even for Zechariah, the punishment that was given to Zechariah, it wasn't to punish him. It was more of a sign to show that God's hand is upon his family. Not to disable Zechariah, to build up his faith. The things that God can take away from me and you at any moment, they're not because God wants to punish you. They're for our betterment. And in this case here, it was to turn Zechariah's belief back toward God, a priest serving in the temple of God. Mary, just a handmaiden, believed the Lord. Zechariah, the priest, who's serving in the temple of God, a man of high esteem, did not have the faith. Certainly loved God and certainly believed in God and was considered in Scripture a righteous man, but when that came to him, he had unbelief. Elizabeth was pleased. She was blessed, no longer barren, but blessed with the fruit of the womb to raise a prophet of God, a mighty man of God to prepare the way for our Lord. And Mary, unsure of how it would happen, but yet not in unbelief, but rejoices evermore in the Lord and presents herself to be of use for the Lord, counting herself blessed. And it's really half the battle. You know the Lord, you pray to the Lord, Do you make yourself available to the Lord? Many things in my own life, I look back now, and again, you guys know that I've saved in 2020, 4 years, a little over 4 years now. And when I think about the things that I have not completed for the Lord, I think about, why am I not making myself more available? There are testimonies outside of our own bubble, out of this church and out of our own city, out of this country. Christianity here is a little bit different, the way we live day to day, than it is in, let's say, Kenya or in Uganda. It's different in Eastern Europe. It's different out in the jungle. The Christianity that we experience is one of comfort. And I don't know whether or not they were comfortable. I don't think that they would have been because Rome was ruling over them. But I hear this and I read this and I hear about their reactions, those four people's reactions to the message. And I think of my own life, but how long it took me not only just to come to faith, but once I'm coming to faith, how long and how more often am I going to make myself unavailable to the Lord just through unbelief? And Mary, she counts herself blessed. She ends up visiting Elizabeth around that time for about 3 months. And I want to read it to you. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias, and she saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. Amen. Worship team, you can come on up. The babe, little John the Baptist, leapt for joy in his mother's womb when he heard Mary's greeting. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she says to Mary, You are blessed who believed the Lord. And the Lord, he will accomplish all that he has said unto you. And you got to remember, Elizabeth, she was experienced in this. She had very recent experiences. She knows firsthand that the Lord will perform all that he has promised. And I want to end here. I want to read you what Mary says in response to her cousin. And in many Bibles and in many commentaries, this is always called Mary's song. And I love her response. She's being commended for her faith, for believing the Lord. She's being exalted because she's blessed. Oh, and her response is this. It's one of true meekness and gratitude. Verse 46, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Not just to her, not just in the Old Testament, not just in the first century. For all generations, the Lord's mercy is on them that fear him. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That prayer there, or I suppose that response, and what's normally considered a song that Mary has, it's one that doesn't exalt herself. She's being called blessed. Blessed art thou among women. As soon as I heard your greeting, oh, you're the one who believed. And she says, look, the Lord has looked down on his very lowly maiden, and I'm just praising God. Amen. For the promise that we have, for the wise men that are searching for that star, for Herod, King Herod, who responds to the wise men, all of those things, everybody has their own response to God. Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth, they all had their initial response. And your initial response is not the most important. your response overall, whether or not we develop that faith toward God, that's what's important. Even if I don't react with the best attitude when I feel that God wants me to do something, it's more about whether or not I go and actually do it. It's whether or not I follow, trust, and obey, even if I'm confused. Let's pray.